Welcome to this episode of Pretentiousness. I am your host, Johnny Daly, and today I have a very special guest, my older brother, Dick Daly.
Hello.
Dick, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself, tell the world a little bit about yourself, who you are, and what we're going to talk about.
Cool. All right. My name is Dick Daly. I work in the world of video production. I guess like my technical term is corporate video producer. I really like doing motion graphic kind of work, and I also really like to play video games, and like even not just play them but kind of like study them, and I just think it's a very underrated art form, and that's kind of what I want to talk to you about, because I've heard your podcast and I think you guys like bring up really cool points about like different forms of media, and I was like, hey man, I know you don't really like playing video games, and I do.
Yeah.
And I have like a lot of pretentious things I want to say about the video game industry because it's at an all-time low.
And what better than to talk about some pretentious things on a podcast called Pretentiousness.
Yay!
So yeah, I mean, as you mentioned, I am not the biggest gamer in the world. I grew up watching all of you guys play video games, I think.
Yeah.
My taste is more in the visuals, so I've always enjoyed watching movies and watching you guys play video games, and so I've always really been interested and really... I think it's neat the type of video games you play, and you've explained them to me, but yeah, I think to kind of jump into it, we can just talk about the art of storytelling, and that goes into all these different art forms. I mean, you can talk about storytelling through music and storytelling through video games and film and books and comic books and all this stuff, and you have those people who are huge bookworms.
Sure.
That then, you know, you and then that maybe not maybe they don't read too many graphic novels or comic books and stuff like that, but then you have these people who are avid graphic novel readers.
Oh, yeah.
And not so much novel readers, and they're just like, oh my god, like, but graphic novels open this whole new world to telling stories through print.
Oh yeah.
And so and I think it's the same thing with video games, is that video games are this, and you know, now we're dipping into VR and stuff like that, but mm-hmm. video games are this huge way of being able to be involved in a story like no other, because in filmmaking, you know, through the writing of it, we try to focus on keeping your audience into the story through relatable experiences, or more so through experiences that maybe they haven't
mm-hmm.
gone through or can't relate to, but in a way that they can understand and learn something new about the world. And I think with video games, it's this whole kind of dynamic that I just really don't understand, because I haven't played too many. And so, I don't know. I guess, you know, the ones that you've talked to me about a lot are Lisa.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And then example. We, you know, you Chrono Trigger, Chrono Cross, mm-hmm. Mass Effect, mm-hmm. stuff like that.
BioShock's another big one.
BioShock.
I've nerded out about
a lot. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I mean, we went into huge discussions about how BioShock... like would be impossible to make into a movie.
Yeah.
And you've kind of told me about that, and I think there are people out there who have tried adapting it, and
yeah, like yeah. a lot of like very independent, just kind of like fan mm-hmm. made.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fan made like short films and stuff like that. But yeah, I mean, like, and I think I even told you that the guy who created BioShock, like Kevin something, I can't remember what his name was.
Yeah.
But he went to school to be a screenwriter. And, like, whenever you play one of his games, it's just, like, the storytelling is so, so crazy that I think he made BioShock into a game because he was just, like, this is a story, like, a beautiful story that I want to tell, and there is no way I can, you know, write a screenplay for this.
Yeah.
It's just, I feel like video games just, like, opens up a whole new world of storytelling that can't be done through other forms of media. And mm-hmm. I think, like, I haven't talked to you about this, and, you know, I've talked to a lot of people who really, really, really enjoy reading, mm-hmm. enjoy books. And, like, everyone watches movies.
Yeah.
But, like, I think it's, like, you know, maybe people like us who are, like, so obsessed with film that, like, we go more in-depth with it. It's not us just kind of like, oh, I want to be entertained for an hour and 30 minutes. Like, it is, extremely... extremely artsy. Like, yeah. You know, for the most part.
But we
like,
get very articulate with it, I mean.
Yeah. And, like, you know, I think I told you that books probably, like, tell better stories than movies do. And that's, like, an argument that I hear from a lot of, like, bookworms or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like, when they go and watch a movie, they just, you know, they want to, like, see it or, you know.
They
want to
see what they read.
Right. Yeah. Or just, like, even when they see a movie that wasn't even based on a book. They
absolutely.
Just, they want to just, like, you know, shut their minds off for a little bit and just, like, watch a story. But, like, it's something I told you is, like, the thing that I love about film is that it's also showing a story. It's not telling a story. You know, there's, like, those small, like, visual cues.
Yeah.
And, like, instead of the character saying, oh, my God, I'm so sad and my life sucks, I'm depressed. Like, how can you show that versus telling? Because people don't tell, like, everything that's going on in their lives. So, like, how can you show that to an audience? It's like, okay, close up, you know, make it dramatic, you know, change the lighting a little bit. Like,
mm-hmm.
And I think that the average viewer doesn't really pick up on stuff like that.
No. And at the same time, you know, inadvertently, we talk about that through film school and through filmmaking is that they're not supposed to, in a way.
Sure.
Like, you know, good editing is when you don't notice it. Good cinematography is when you don't notice it. Stuff like that. And so I think that goes into play. But that's kind of impossible for people like us to do because, you know, most of the time when I watch a movie now, I just watch it for the first time. I'm still dissecting it in my brain.
Yeah.
But I just try to watch it. And then, you know, the second, third, fourth time I watch it, then I, like, really start analyzing it to, like, the, you know, the dotting the I's and T's of it. But yeah, I think going back to books and stuff, well, we have the process of adaptation now.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't think the argument is necessarily that a book can tell a better story. It's just that it can tell it differently.
Yeah, exactly.
And going into video games.
Mm-hmm.
Is video gaming the best way of storytelling? I think that's very subjective because, you know, how can we say something is the best at something? It's just a different way.
Yeah.
But it's so much more intuitive
than
anything
else. And I think I showed you that video where the guy, like, broke down the game Lisa, where he was just saying that, that, like, video games, it's, like, a different way to tell a story because you're more immersed in it. When you're reading a book, you're just, like, I mean, reading it with your eyes, and you're like, your brain is kind of like imagining what's happening when you're reading, and when you're watching a movie, you watch it and you listen to it, you know, what the characters are saying or whatever. But like in a video game, like, man, you are the person who is controlling the story, and you can go with the story at your own pace or whatever. So it's not saying that like video games is the best form of media because it's more immersive.
Yeah,
it's saying that the video is saying that like, there are different ways of media, and some ways are better for the story than others.
Yeah.
Like,
and there's some stories that can't be told in a different platform.
Yeah.
Like a different medium, like BioShock with a movie. Like, if you wanted to tell that story the way it needs to be told, and the only person who can objectively say that the way that story needs to be told is the writer, and since the writer was, you know, studied screenplays and wrote the video game, he himself, you know, came to that conclusion that this story cannot be told through a movie.
Yeah.
And the way he wanted to tell that story visually, as well as narratively, was through a video game.
Yeah, and I think that's, like, one of the craziest things, too, is I really do love, a great game that has replayability.
Mm-hmm.
Even, like, what you said with movies. Like, maybe the first time you watch a movie, you're not, like, dissecting it.
Absolutely.
But then, like, if you really, really, really like it, you're going to go and revisit it and, like, dissect it a little bit more.
Yep.
But, like, the same thing goes with video games because there's a lot of games like Mass Effect and BioShock where I put in countless hours into the game because, and I think this is why it could never be a movie, is because you control what the character is doing, and those decisions that you're making are affecting the way the story is being told.
Yeah.
So like when you're playing a video game, your first play or your second play or your third play is never going to be the same as like the first time you played it, because you're going to open up like way more opportunities. And I think like one of the examples I use about Mass Effect, because you know I got the friggin' Paragon thing tattooed on me.
Yeah.
It's just like, you know, like a good example is just immediate gratification versus like delayed gratification.
Mm-hmm.
Like you can go around and piss people off and get whatever you want at that time, or you can go out of your way to help others and then like literally like 100 hours later, that person's going to come up in like Mass Effect 3 and be like, hey, you helped me in Mass Effect 1. Here's something really freaking cool that you like wouldn't have gotten if you didn't have that immediate gratification of doing like the shitty thing or whatever. Yeah. So it's just like, it really does like open up. And I don't know if you were able to like make a movie based on a video game, because there's so many different stories and there's so many different possibilities. It's like, which story do I tell? But, you know, as a video game player, the person who's actually like playing the game, you get to decide that. Whether it's, you know, I want to do a file where I have shitty decisions, and I want to have a file where I do like the good moral decisions or whatever.
And see, I would never even, one, I would never even really think to sit down and play a video game, and two, right. I would never even think to do that. So that's really neat as well. And I'm sure a lot of people do that, but if they don't, they should, because you have that ability. You know, you have that ability, as whereas in a movie, you just get what you get, or a book, you just get what you get.
Right, yeah.
And you don't have those alternative endings or alternative options. And
exactly.
It's just like, so right off the top of your head, can you think of any movies that were based off video games that you also played the video game?
Oh, at the top of my head, no, I don't think so. And this could probably be a separate discussion, but like, in my personal opinion,
yeah,
I feel like a lot of video game movies are just kind of a scam.
Yeah.
It's just like, you know, they're trying to bring in like this nerdy audience.
The audience who liked the video games, knowing that they'll go watch
right.
the movie.
I honestly don't know if there's like a good video game movie out there. I really don't know if there is. I can't think of one.
And I feel like even the ones that are, like, off the top of my head, I think of Drive. Because Drive with Ryan Gosling was based off a video game.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Which one?
Drive. I think it was a video game called Drive.
Oh, shit. Yeah,
and so, but I think it, like I said, I cannot really remember, but I think it might have been, like, an arcade game base, like, kind of thing. But you know, you take people who are like maybe somebody who really liked that movie, made it into a movie, and it's like maybe the video game wasn't really the same plot, but you still have that idea of a getaway driver who, you know, is trying to.
Yeah.
And then you can build off of that. But, you know, even with books, because through screenwriting and stuff, there's so many rules and there's so many things that you have to do to structure it properly. And one of those is that you can't, because it's a movie, you can't get into a character's head.
Mm-mm.
And especially if a book is, even if a book is written in third person or first person or whatever it may be, you still have the narrator or the person who's writing it in first person telling you thoughts that they're thinking.
Sure.
Things that are going on in their head in a certain situation. And you can't do that in movies because it's all visual and it's all there. Even if you tried to, it would be very difficult. And but like writing a screenplay, a big rule is like you can't get into the mind of your character from the simplest things. Like you can't say Bob is sitting there thinking really hard about what he just did and he's feeling very sad about it and he's trying to think of what he should do next. Like you can't you can't write a screenplay like that. You have to show it.
Yeah, exactly.
You have to show
yeah.
that he's regretting
it's
whatever
like the telling
he might have
versus
done.
The showing kind
yeah.
of thing that we brought up.
Yeah. Exactly. And I mean, how does that differ in video games? Do you think that line kind of still hits in video games, or do you think that it's still a little bit more in depth than that?
Oh man, that's a good question. You know, and it's kind of weird because in most video games, like the playable character, shoot, what do you call that? Like the antagonist, like
the bad guy,
Or
the
protagonist.
The protagonist counterpart is the antagonist.
Oh.
The protagonist, the protagonist doesn't even have to be a good person. He's just the person that the story is following.
Oh, okay.
And the antagonist is just that protagonist counterpart. So in something like V for Vendetta, he's an anti-hero,
but he's
the protagonist. And anything that is his counterpart or anything that is his obstacle is the antagonist,
sure.
Who that main person might be. So
okay, yeah. Cool. So, but like, so a lot of like the main characters or the playable characters, like in games, like they don't really talk at all. Like Chrono Trigger, there's not one line by the main character. Chrono Cross, same thing. Like, and I You know, and like Mass Effect, those games, like, they do have like options. Mm-hmm. You know, like someone has like this short dialogue with you, and it's like, what option do you choose? How do you want to handle the situation? But like, they do react a certain way, but it's just how the player wants them to react.
Yeah.
And like, I brought up with Mass Effect about, like, you know, you can do like the shitty decisions or whatever, like, yeah, the immoral decisions. The first time I did my bad moral character, it actually made me feel bad.
Yeah.
'Cause, like, I went around, I was like always like doing the nice thing, going out of my way to like help people in this video game, and then like the second like I started playing my bad character, I'm just like, oh man, like that actually kind of hurt me a little bit. And I talked to because Josh was the one who got me into Mass Effect, and I was even talking to him about it. I was like, yeah dude, like, it actually like made me feel bad, like, as a player, to like make these decisions.
Because in any other form of storytelling,
mm-hmm,
you're only, especially it comes to the writer, of how good of a writer they are, how good of a director it is, directing, whatever that may be, or author, you're only feeling for that other person.
Yeah.
If the character is shitty, you're identifying with those morals through yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But in a video game, like you said, you have the opportunity to base those morals on what you want to do.
Yeah.
And so, like, I think another one is Lisa, right? That game that you said you can really do, or no, that you said that game, like, forces you to have to, like, make shitty decisions based on other things, and how, like, I don't know, like, you were telling me, like, how at one point in the game, like, you lose an arm because you have to, like, trade it. I don't know,
think I showed you in the video too, is just that, you know, beating the game with an arm is an achievement, and it's really fucking hard to do.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think I beat the game ever with even one arm, because you're like, as like a player, you know, you're like, you want to build your team, so you know you have like different team members or whatever, and you like almost build a connection with these characters, and every single character, like, depending on who you pick in certain scenarios, like, they all have like their different personalities. So like, if you play one playthrough and like you have just one character in there, they're gonna react to things different than another character in your party, and so like you are faced with decisions where like a bad guy will come up and it's just like, dude, I will chop off your arm or pick your, like, a randomized person that we picked in your party. And like, sometimes, like, dude, I actually like that guy in my party. And sometimes, like, you'll like pick up people in that game that are just like totally worthless.
Yeah.
And like, sometimes when the game randomly picks one of those people, it's like, choose your armor, this person. I'm just like, shit, like, this is rough. Like, I did never use this character. He just joined my party, and now I'm like killing him off.
Yeah.
So I can, and you're having an arm actually does affect the way you are in the game, like how much damage you can do and how fast you move climbing up ladders and stuff like that, is just like based on the decisions that you make.
Just since I haven't played it and stuff, what in the game causes you, or I guess forces you, to make the decision of choosing somebody over an arm? Why are you, like, in the game, why are you losing an arm over a person? Is there like an opposing force that is?
Yeah, there's like, I mean, the whole game is based on kind of like Why the Last Man,
like the post-apocalyptic stuff.
Post-apocalyptic, where all the females die. Like, mm-hmm, there's just something that happened. All the females are dead, and like the whole world is ran by men, and it's total chaos.
Yeah,
like, it's like, people are, you know, it's like, we are it. This is it. We, mm-hmm, cannot reproduce. And it's kind of funny, like, the guy who made that game was like this like 22-year-old like dude, and he was like, he did everything, like music and pixel art and everything. Very, very, very creative person. But like, currency in the game is porno magazines, because they're just like, you know, like, shit, there's no girls left, like, what the fuck were you gonna do? But the game Lisa is about the main character Brad finds a female baby, and he is going to protect her, but like, really, while, and you know, spoilers, whatever, but he thinks that he's protecting her, but really he's like causing her harm. And there's other people in the game who are kind of like out to get this chick too. And, you know, whether it's like, we need this chick to repopulate. And then like, there's another side story where like, this dude used to date the mom of the baby or whatever, and he just wants to, like, take her in or whatever. It's like, you're, like, faced with these decisions where these people are after you find this kid, and they're just like, tell us where the kid is, and, you know, choose your arm or one of your party members.
Yeah.
Like, quit hiding this chick from us or whatever.
And there's another thing about that as well, because I was trying to create a parallel through film, and one of the things too is that there are people who follow Harry Potter, Game of Thrones, whatever it may be, something that's like long lasting, that really has like these big character development things inside of it, that will like legitimately like cry if a character's killed off or through something like that.
Yes.
And so people, if the writing is done well enough, people will get so connected with a character that if that character dies or goes through something difficult, they feel so strongly for that character, like they know that person.
Yeah.
And that, to me, like, makes it seem almost surreal to the fact that in a video game, that person, you know, to for people listening, like, your favorite character that died off that you were so pissed about, like, that might have been your fault if you were playing the video game. Like, you might have had to do something and cause that character to die, which would make that emotional reaction so much worse just because you did that. And it's not necessarily like, and I'm sure this is how it is in video games, I'm sure it's not necessarily how it's like, oh, by you choosing this thing, you had to choose between this and that character's life. No, it's like, because you chose to make this decision, like maybe a few hours into the game, because you made that decision, one domino led to the other, and that that person died because of that decision you made.
Yep.
And it hits you so much harder because you're like, oh my god, at the moment I made this decision because I thought I was doing something right, but then this character who I was really involved with died because of that decision, and I know exactly why he died, because I can see from the moment I made that decision to his death that it was absolutely my fault.
And that's fucking crazy. The game is actually called Lisa the Painful. Because, like, and it's really funny that you said something about Game of Thrones, because even in that video that I showed you, the guy was just like, Lisa makes Game of Thrones look like a friggin' Disney movie.
Disney movie, yep.
Like, so, like, the whole game, I won't get into it, like, too much, but, like, it is, like, really fucked up. Like, the whole game is, like, about, like, because it's part of a series. The first game, like, Just Lisa, was about, like, this girl who's been abused, like sexually abused by her father, and that she hurts herself and she fucks up her own face with a buzzsaw just so that the dad would not find her pretty anymore and would stop raping her. And then, like, in the end of the game, the girl, like, commits suicide. I was like, thanks for playing, like, this game. It's like, dude, this, like, it's really messed up. And the first game was extremely abstract. Like, you're, like, going around and, like, like, you're envisioning your abusive father in a child's perspective. So, like, you see, like, spiders with the father's head just, like, constantly crawling, like, around the screen and stuff like that. Like, very, like, disturbing stuff. Like, Lisa the Painful, like, it doesn't stop there. Like, it still is really, really, really messed up. And, like, kind of even going back with, like, the party members. Like, all the decisions I'm making, like, are affecting, like, my favorite party members or whatever. The way the guy, like, made the game, too, is that, like, in video games, like, there are save points. Yeah. And they purposely make it where those decisions I get to face are, like, hours of work.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, man, my favorite party member just died. Am I really about to go through, like, am I really going to load my last save point, just, like, save this person? But no, because it's painful. Like, like, everything you do in that game is just grinding and so much work, and it's just like all painful, and it's just like, I don't want to, like, relive any of that stuff. It's like, yeah, I don't know, it's crazy.
I guess
I don't know if that answered.
No, that, yeah, no, that does. It's just, it's one of those things too where it's just like, people who play this game, like, you probably learn a lot about yourself too.
Oh my god, through it.
And, you know, for people
Shit, sorry, can I interrupt?
Yeah, no, really, go ahead.
Because, like, I just thought of something else. It's just like, you know, when you play a video game, like, what you're saying with, like, V for Vendetta, like, he was a, like, V? Like, he was the anti-hero or whatever?
Yeah.
Like, what he was doing was fucked up. Like, he was like, dude, I'm gonna blow up this building. But, you know, he was very passionate about, like, what he wanted to do. In the game, like, the character that you play as, you're realizing how much harm you're doing to this child, and you don't even know it. Like, at the end of the game, like, the playable character, Brad, is just like, I'm so sorry, like, I was only out to help you. And you realize at the end of the game, after you're just like, yeah, I'm Brad, and I'm like, I'm fucking all these, like, people up. Mm-hmm. And then you realize that, like, oh my god, like, I caused harm to this poor child. And to the point where she doesn't even want to hug you before you die. She's just like, I just want a hug. I don't know what, like, affection feels like. And the chick is just like, no. Like, because you've caused me so much pain. But as a player, you're just like, I'm just, like, you know, messing all these dudes up, and I'm, like, the good guy. It's like, no, you're not. Like,
yeah.
It's just, like, you basically play, like, an anti-hero. And, like, yeah. Dude, yeah, it does, like, affect you as a player, too.
It's, and so, I mean, like,
I learned a lot. It's like, maybe you think relatable. You're doing the right thing.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, think about that kid. Like, you know, it's just, like, you think you're doing good, but, like, sometimes maybe you're not.
I think the last time you explained that to me, too, I think I even said something about that. I was like, man, it really kind of opens your eyes to you can live your whole life thinking that you're being a good person based on the morals that you were raised with and the things you do for other people, and you can actually be hurting them when you think that you're helping them.
Exactly.
And it goes into, like, a bunch of parenting stuff, too. I mean, God, that's, like, that's half of it, you know? We've talked about that as well, that, like, especially in the Midwest, you grow up a lot of times with conservative parents who, like, teach you all these morals and values, but then at the end of the day, like, a lot of times the parents realize, like, man, I really, like, hit these kids so hard with all of this stuff that it actually made them more depressed or more confused about the world, because what I thought I was showing them was, like, right and the way to make them good people, but damn, like, yeah, it actually screwed them up a little bit because I pushed too hard.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, like, a very, very mild version of what Lisa is about, but, like,
oh yeah, I'm sure there's, like, plenty that I'm missing too. But, like, you know, going back to different forms of media, it's just, like, maybe Lisa could have been a... No, actually, you know what? No, I was going to say maybe, like, Lisa could have been a good book. But then, like, the books, like, you can't make decisions in books.
Exactly.
Like, if you feel this way, turn to page, blah, blah, blah. You know? Like, this is a story from that decision.
Right? Yeah.
Like, because you're faced with, like, these decisions, like, that's what makes it a great video game. It could never be a movie, because it's friggin' traumatizing and heavy. Yeah. And, like I said, like, the decisions that you make in the game, like, heavily influence what's going to happen later on in the storyline.
Absolutely.
But yeah, I mean, like, that could definitely... I don't think I could see that being anything but a video game.
Yeah. And I mean, there's a lot of things like that too. Like, man, I think everything, in a sense, can be made into a movie, but it's just not going to do the original work justice.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what it all comes down to, and that's what a lot of Hollywood producers, or producers in general, will take they'll bite the bullet on that. They'll be like, oh, well, yeah, we know it's not going to be as good, but it's a good marketing tool for the people who are fans of it,
mm-hmm.
and want to see that, you know, come out of it. Like, I mean, you know, Game of Thrones is a good example, too, because Lord of the Rings... there's a lot of parallels between Lord of the Rings and Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things is that they're very dense books, you know? They're very dense books. There's a lot of backstory, a lot of character development.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, pushing all of that into three movies, I'm sure, was a very difficult process as far as adapting it and doing the original works justice and having Lord of the Rings be something as big as it was. But something like Game of Thrones, which is dealing with the same sort of literary material, which is these dense books of, like, these big, long family lines and all these different things going on. I think a TV show in that sense is a really good way to go in that route, because then you have a lot more seasons and episodes to dive into those characters and deal with that, rather than trying to squish it all into three movies.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I guess what I'm trying to say is that if a video game, apart from the aspects of a video game being that you get to create these different routes and decisions, if a video game to its depth could be, you know, adapted into the screen, it would have to be through a television show to even touch the base of what the storylines are about. But again, you lose that aspect of the choices.
Yeah, totally. And I think, like, there are a lot of, like, you know, I'm sure it's... they use the same verbiage or whatever in film, but, like, there are such thing as nonlinear and linear games. Like, the nonlinears are just kind of like, dude, you own the world. Like, go out and do whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
And you're faced with decisions, and you're going to, like I said, like, every playthrough is going to be different. And then there's linear games that you can't really control what happens. You're just kind of, like, playing a story. And I'm not saying that that's bad, but I feel like that could be used for different forms of media. Like, I think I told you that one of, like, the best stories I've ever played in video games is To the Moon.
Very emotional
story.
Yeah.
You
used to talk about that one a lot, yeah.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Like, but I've played it through maybe, like, 4 times, and I don't really get anything new out of it. I just, you know, kind of want to relive that story.
Yeah.
Like, I could see something like that being turned into a TV show or a movie or even a book, because it just doesn't have that non-linearness that I think video games, like, really hold themselves on.
A lot of that is the emotional toll, too. Oh, because, like, for instance, I'll use a recent movie, for example, like Phantom Thread. I know you haven't seen it yet, but, like, what the first time watching that, I mean, I came out of that theater like, oh, my God. Because it's your first time watching it, and you experience all of those twists and turns right there. So the second time you watch it, it's not going to have that same effect, because you know what's going to happen.
Sure, yep.
But you want to relive it. You want to be like, dude, I know what's going to happen, and I know that it's not going to be as shocking, but holy shit, that story was told so well and, like, so relatable that I just want to watch it again.
Yeah.
And then it's those watches through that, of course, you notice maybe the more minute things, you know, apart from the narrative twists and turns, but you still get something out of something every time you relive it or you revisit it.
Oh yeah, and totally.
Different I'm sure place in your life or whatever. A video game is a lot bigger of a commitment. Like, you're going through Chrono Trigger or Chrono Cross again?
I'm going through Chrono Cross. I already beat Chrono Trigger again.
Like, recently?
Yeah. Christ. Yeah, it's like literally, that's probably like 50.
Yeah.
Around there. Probably more.
Yeah.
But, like, I love that game so much.
Mm-hmm. Who's the artist that uses some of the beats? Is it Wiz Khalifa?
Yeah, Wiz Khalifa. Yeah, yeah, I heard that.
We talked about that in Josh's podcast. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah. I think he used a lot of Chrono Trigger stuff as samples.
Yeah.
Like, put them on a mixtape or something, so you wouldn't, like, profit off of it or anything.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, dude, it's such a great game. And, like, the thing is, like, I think the community says that, like, Chrono Trigger is, like, a classic. Like,
yeah.
It's a classic. And you know me. Like, it's probably one of my favorite games.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, there's not anything, like, that crazy about it. It's just fun. And I, like, loved that game as a kid. And so, like, it just has, like, more of nostalgia. Like, but, like, you know, Chrono Cross is a game that has so much more depth. Mm. I've beat that game probably more than 20 times.
Yeah.
And I still don't get it. Like, the storyline is, like, that complex and abstract. It makes, like, no sense to me.
It's like Chrono Trigger seems to be, like, the Citizen Kane of the film industry, and
yeah, seriously.
Chrono Cross is, like, the Mulholland Drive.
And, like, people don't like Chrono Cross because they're just like, where's the Chrono? Or, like, where are the older characters? And, like, what happened to, like, that classic game? It's just, like, Chrono Cross gets a bad rep because... Yeah, I think it was just, like, too abstract for people.
Yeah.
And they're just like, this game doesn't make any sense. It's not like the original, so it's bad. It's just like, no, man, it is so freaking good. It's really, really good. Like, some of, like, the stories that are brought up is just, like, you know, the parallel dimensions. It's not, like, so much traveling in time like Chrono Trigger was.
Yeah.
But it's just, like, and even, like, Bioshock Infinite is the same way, too. It's just, like, anytime you're faced with a life decision, like, it creates, like, a parallel universe.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, you know, there's different, like, existences or whatever, and, like, in Chrono Cross, the main character dies in one of the universes, but his death actually, like, has such a huge impact that it creates, like, a wormhole for him to travel between his death timeline and, like, a total different parallel universe. And, like, the reason why that happened is because of fate, and, like, fate is actually, like, a real person, and you have to fight fate.
Yeah.
Like, and, like, it's just, like, there's so much around there that I don't, like, it's, man, like, that's another game that I don't think any form of media can touch.
And that's why it's
so complex.
And that's why I really do wish that I was more into video games, because, you know, things like, I mean, to a certain extent, I really enjoyed the narrative part of it, but like Interstellar or like Donnie Darko, they deal with like parallel universes and dimensions and stuff like that. And even Twin Peaks, you know, finishing that deals with a lot of like interdimensional type things and different timelines and stuff like that. And it's just like that stuff, like in movies, is always touched on. It's always like some sort of subplot that kind of puts the story together, gives it a backbone, especially like Donnie Darko.
Yeah,
but it doesn't go into it.
Yes, into this point that
you can't like explore it, and that's what like
you almost gonna have to accept it sometimes. Yeah. It's just like, wait, why is this happening? Oh, well, you know, that's the way the story works, and you know,
that's
like,
what happens.
Wait, why is this happening? Just
and people who develop video games have to like,
answer
that question and explain.
Like, yeah, so it happened because of fate, but like fate is actually like a real being. It's just like, what the fuck? That's crazy. Like that's insane. But like, no, another thing, like, I don't know where we're at, but like another thing I like really wanted to talk about, like the video game industry, is that like I think I can compare it to the film industry, like in the fact of, yes, like you said, like I wish I was more into video games, but like there's also a lot of issues with it too. Like there are a lot of really, really great underrated games, and I made like a video praising Cuphead, and I'm sure everyone heard about Cuphead. Like very independent game, like all the animations or like the characters were like hand drawn, inked, colored in, all the music was recorded live, and like you know, that game didn't really have a good storyline. You're friggin' like a cup man, and you sold your soul to the devil or something. You have to go kill him. Like that's what the game is. Like there's pretty intense, but it's like it's fun and it's hard. But you know, the creative aspect of it is insane.
Yeah,
the amount of work that they put into that went game into is crazy. Yeah. But you know, you also have these games that don't have any depth and are extremely entertaining, like BioShock is one of my favorite games because like the story it tells is fantastic, but dude, it aged so poorly. Like it is really hard to play because like the controllers are all wonky, and like the graphics aren't as good as, you know, they used to be 15 years ago or whenever the game came out. It's just like it's kind of a hard game to revisit. But like some people who like play video games, or, like the average video game player, like they don't really care about all like the creative stuff. They just want to play something with great graphics, like awesome physics and just nonstop action packed, and like to them it's more of kind of like an escape to like the average viewer for film. And I just think that with film and with video games there's just like a lot of creativity and art that kind of like goes underlooked by the average person.
Yeah, and I mean that's probably the best way I would describe my really thrill and experience with Mad Max, because Zach, who is you know, the co-host of this podcast at times, we talked about Mad Max and he said, oh, you know, I just didn't really feel that good about it, I didn't really get anything out of it. It just like, you know, I just,
there was not really that much,
and there's not that much there
substance, you know,
but from the production aspect,
exactly,
and from knowing what goes into filming and filmmaking and production and pre-production and stunts and all that stuff, you look at that movie as like some sort of like just holy grail of what film production is all about.
Yes,
because that film set aside what it was to just have a script and just be like, let's tell this story visually.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm pretty sure this is like straight off of behind the scenes stuff, is that they I mean they made storyboards before they even had a script.
Yeah, dude,
it was because it was all visual.
Yeah,
it was like, how do we tell this story visually first and then like throw in some necessary dialogue here and there.
Yeah,
and it's just such a simple story of a town that's being, you know, a post-apocalyptic town that's, you know, being dictated by this kind of evil doer, and then, you know, this oddball kind of comes in. He's not really too good of a person himself, but because of the circumstances, he winds up helping these people who are very passionate about being free and free of this guy's reign. And then this kind of outsider who is kind of an anti-hero himself comes in and helps them get their freedom, and since he doesn't really get anything out of it besides the fact of just helping them, and, you know, that's what his part was, and he left, and now they're kind of in that place in peace, and I think that's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
So personally, I think that there's a really cool story there as well, but yeah, to the common viewer, it's just like, yeah, there's not much story there. It's basically a silent film.
But just because there's not like an in-depth story doesn't mean like it wasn't creative.
It wasn't creative, exactly.
That there wasn't like anything else behind the scenes that was just like very, very impressive.
Yeah.
Like, and you know, the same thing I guess can be said about video games too. Is like, because Mad Max was just like super action packed, mm-hmm. and just like the soundtrack and everything is like amazing too, to get you hyped or whatever. And like, there are a lot of like great games out there, like maybe Bioshock Infinite, where it is like action packed. Like, mm-hmm. I told you that like the first Bioshock was just kind of like, it's hard to play because like the gameplay is not that good. The gameplay kind of sucks, but the story that they tell is like amazing. And but like Bioshock Infinite is both. Like, the story was not as good, still really, really cool. But like the action, like, it's really easy to go and like revisit that game and play it. Like, yeah, I didn't want to like sound like just like, oh, all action packed games with like
no
substance or like shit.
No, but because like, it's the same thing with that's the same
Mad
thing
Max
with
is exactly that.
Yeah, it's the same thing with poetic realism through film, La Promesse,
mm-hmm.
and La Enfant and Rosetta and all those films that the Dardenne brothers did, and then going into Andrea Arnold with like. Fish Tank and American Honey. Those are like poetic realist films that kind of dumb down the production aspects of it, but you just stay with it because of the acting and the storyline.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the same thing with film. There's times where you're like, you know, the production is not something we're really paying attention to right now because this is a movie that just digs into characters and story.
Sure, yeah.
And so,
right. Yeah, it's okay to just have one.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Like, as long as there's just some sort of thought that goes into it,
because
like there are a lot of like video games out there, and I hate to like shit on the game that everyone shits on, but like, you know, Call of Duty, like the first Call of Duty was like really cool,
yeah,
and then they just like repurpose the same shit. It's just like there's nothing new.
It's the first person shooter of console gaming as to Madden is.
Yeah.
It just gets reproduced every year, and it's like, dude, what changed that much between Madden, Madden
Zombies.
12 and Madden 13.
Nazi zombies.
Madden zombies.
Madden zombies.
play football against zombies.
Because like really old, like, or just like dead, like star athletes.
You have like running for the end zone, and you have like these zombies like chasing you, and they can like jump on you, like tear your leg off, and you have to crawl for the end zone.
Steve McNair's quarterback.
Oh my
god.
Holy shit, dude. People are gonna steal our ideas.
Yeah.
That's actually really cool.
Yeah,
yeah,
dude.
Madden zombies.
It's gonna happen.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, I think that's great.
That is really like...
Like, you just get, like, really great all-stars. Or
hit
dead.
X, like, as fast as you can to, like, crawl, army crawl to the end zone because you've just had your both legs bitten off. It's just like...
Dude, that'd be amazing. But see, like, dude, even, like, on the subject of zombies, like... That's just, like, another thing that just, like, happened with the video game industry. And I don't know if film's this way, so, like, I would love to hear your input, but it's just, like, fads, man. Like, fads are ruining the video game industry. And, like, Left 4 Dead was, like, so great. And, like
yeah.
I think people are just, like, obsessed over zombies out of nowhere. And, like, every single game just had it. Like, and that's why, like, I give shit to Call of Duty about, like, throwing in Nazi zombies. It's just, like, what's hot? Zombies. Okay, let's put zombies in the game.
And it's everywhere.
Like, right, and like, yeah. Dude, zombies were everywhere, and it was a fad. Like
Left 4 Dead. What was that game with the people on the beach who were like vacationing?
Dead Island.
And
then there's like the game where you're in a mall. I never played that one.
Is Dead Island the really good graphic one? The one that was like super, super good graphics? Like
probably. And I know there's
I can't remember what that one was
like
called.
Like another really good one came out. And I think it's actually supposed to be really good. Like, I'm not saying that all zombie games are awful, but, like, it's a fad.
It's a fad.
And, like,
yeah.
Something I was telling one of my coworkers about is, like, PUBG and Fortnite right now, like the big thing is just, like, this battle royale. I'm like, dude, this is Minecraft all over again.
Mm-hmm.
When Minecraft came out, it became such a huge hit, and it's, like, a survival game. So it's, like, one of those games where, like, they drop you off in the wild, and they're just like, okay, like, chop up some wood, build a house, go chop up some more wood, find some... some coal and then like make herself a fire and like go craft some, like go out and like survive, live off the land. And then immediately, because it was such a huge success, you see games doing survival like crazy. Like, and it just became such a like a big thing. And then Arma 3 comes out with this like battle royale kind of thing where it's like the Hunger Games, where it's just like, okay, we're gonna drop off 100 players into a map and then there's only one winner. Like, and then like the map gets smaller and smaller and smaller. And then I played H1Z1, so I guess the guy who created the Arma 3 mod created H1Z1, and then like that's the one I played a lot. And then other games started picking it up too. Like, that's why you have like Fortnite out right now, and there's like a million mobile games right now that are trying to like to just like overuse this idea that, you know, like maybe the first game nailed it. Like, actually, like maybe Arma 3 didn't nail it, and then like H1Z1, okay, it wasn't that great. PUBG is like pretty good, and Fortnite's pretty good, but I feel like it's just gonna be like one of those fads in video games. Like, I think first it was zombies, survival because of Minecraft, and now it's like everyone wants to build a battle royale game. Yeah. And like, I think that's just what's kind of ruining the video game industry, because like I said, you have games like Cuphead or like a lot of other indie games are like truly like trying to make like a work of art, and that aren't going to be as successful as some of these other games because they're just selling out to whatever's hot. I mean, like, even with Flappy Bird, do you remember like when that game came out on mobile, people were like freaking the fuck out about it. And then like
Angry Birds was, you know,
I never really did play that one. Like, Flappy Bird was just kind of like a pride game. Like, dude, I just got like 15. It's like
something
like,
to do when you're bored.
But then you have like a million other games out there that are the exact same thing.
Concept, yeah. I've just
it's a fad. And like, how many people do you know that play Flappy Bird or anything like it these days on their phone?
I'm a loser, so I might download it if I'm on a trip or something just to keep me busy on plane rides and stuff.
Sure, yeah.
But you know, because I don't open myself to like other things that are out there, like video game wise. So I'm still playing like Jetpack Joyride on my phone.
Hell yeah.
when I'm bored.
And see, like, I don't know, but like, when I say like the average viewer for like film or whatever, like that's what you call like a casual gamer versus like a hardcore gamer is what they call it. Like, the casual gamer is just gonna go and like wanna hop on and just like enjoy, you know, an hour and 30 minutes, like shut themselves down, versus like the hardcore gamer is gonna like wanna do everything that they can. Like, I want to experience everything in this game. Like, my coworker, his favorite game is Skyrim, and it's like such an open game. You can literally like go out there and like do whatever you want.
Yeah.
And he was just like, I've put like well over 500 hours into that game. And it was like, anytime I like boot it up and want to start a new file, it's like I do things that I've never, ever, ever done before.
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy to me.
I think what you were just talking about is super, because you kind of have both sides of it. I mean, that's why I'm kind of jealous in a certain extent, envious of your views on video games, because you kind of have it from both sides. And I feel like I'm coming into it from this perspective that is very ignorant on when it comes to video games, because I really just don't know anything about them, and I really haven't experienced them the way I could. I think the only video game I've ever beaten from start to finish, like the way you're supposed to beat a video game, is Resident Evil 6 on like PS2 or 3.
Resident Evil 5, the one, the co-op game?
Yes.
That one's a blast.
And it's so much fun.
Yeah.
But it's like the only game that I ever like stuck with and actually like beat the game at the end of it. I think I was like on easy too, you know, like hard.
That game is hard though.
But like, you know, I think it goes into play when it comes to, you know, I had the conversation with a few people this weekend when I was explaining, and it's a tangent that I go on very often, but it's the same thing about films, that there are good films and bad films, in the sense that not objectively, like, people are entitled to their own opinion, just like, you know, somebody may love McDonald's and eat it every day, but they can't say it's good food because it's not good for you. And when you talk about it in that sense, it's like objectively, McDonald's is not good for you.
Yeah.
But you can't tell somebody that they don't like McDonald's. That's where the you know, that's my best analogy in comparison when it comes to film. It's like, okay, the new Kevin Hart, Will Ferrell movie, you might love and it might be hilarious, but it's not a good film.
Right.
Like, what does it teach you about life? What is it, what value does it have to the world to teach you something new or some morals? It's just most of the time they're just raunchy comedies, which is okay because they have their place in life. They really do have their place in life. Mm-hmm. We all need that escape and hysterical movie that can just make us cry laughing sometimes.
Sure.
But to a certain extent, you know, like when it comes to these Marvel movie type things, you know, they're very mainstreamy, they're very blockbuster, they come out during the summer, they're safe, yes. And so it sounds like from your argument and your standpoint from these video games like Call of Duty and the zombie trend and the gimmick, that it's the same argument for film when it comes to these like mainstream movies compared to, like, for instance, Close Up. You just watched Close Up, which is the Abbas, you know, I can't remember his last name. But then you have, you know, I'm diving into like more foreign films like Kieslowski and Bergman, who, you know, I feel like every filmmaker or film buff or film appreciator goes through that stage where, like, first you think, you know, Christopher Nolan and Spielberg are the greatest, and then you go through your Kubrick phase, and then you go through your Bergman phase, and now you start watching movies of things that you can't even find online because they're so hidden, and you go through that because you start realizing, like, this isn't it, you know, I don't have to just settle for these big name directors.
Totally.
Because there's more out there. And I'm sure it's the same way with video games.
Yeah, and I'll go off topic just really fast. But, like, we're even talking about, like, music, which I know is, like, not the topic. But, like, the same guy who made that evaluation on Lisa was... And I think I told you this, is that, music is kind of the same way, too. Where it's, like, people don't follow music. They follow artists. And it's just kind of like...
Oh, yeah, that was a good argument.
So, like, the exact same thing could be said about film. And video games, yeah.
Which is why,
Mass Effect, dude. I had, like I was the biggest fanboy, and then, like, the newest one came out, and it was total freaking garbage, but I wanted to like it.
Because it was Mass Effect.
Right.
Yeah.
And it was just, like, it was just such a disappointment. But, yeah, I mean, like, there's a lot of big developers, and there's, like, a lot of, like, genres or whatever.
Yeah.
And I think that, like, some people just kind of think that, like, because their favorite developer or because... their favorite genre, like, games are coming out that they, like, almost have to like it. But, like, you know, when I was in college, I was part of, like, a video game channel.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, my segment was Indie Gamer, because it's crazy that, like, there's, like, a lot of really, like, nice hidden gems out there. And I'm not saying that indie's always better, because there's a lot of shit indie games out there, and there's, like, a lot of awful indie movies out there, too. But, you know, just because they're not famous, or just because... people don't know about it doesn't mean it's bad.
Yeah.
It's just like, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of hidden gems in video games. And that's why, I was really passionate about, that segment that I hosted, because I would, like, talk about games like Lisa and, like, To the Moon, and, like, these other video gamers that were part of the channel were just like, dude, like, we really do, like, dig your show, because I've never even heard of some of these games.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, you know, you got to go out there and find it, you know. And going back to music, I mean, it's kind of the same thing. It's just like, just because you listen to someone who's not top 40 doesn't mean it's bad. Or exactly. Just because a lot of people like something doesn't mean it's good.
Exactly.
Like the slapstick, like Kevin Hart or Will Ferrell movie or whatever. It's just like, just because other people think it's hilarious, it's like, oh, well... everyone else likes it except for you. That means it must be good. Mm-hmm. It's like, no.
It's... Or being called a hipster because you don't like it.
Yeah. Yeah, I hate that.
Yeah. And so, you know, it's okay. And I laugh about that stuff. I mean, obviously, this podcast is called Pretentiousness. You got to learn to laugh at yourself for the things that you follow and the things that you enjoy. But, yeah, I mean, that's the argument that I've always said, is that, you know, top 40s music... most of the time is about the good life. It's about, you know, getting drunk and going to party and all this stuff. Or if you listen to more indie music or alternative music, and by indie, like we talked about in Josh's podcast, doesn't mean like a genre. Indie is not a genre. Right. It just means independently produced, independently written. You see these artists who are really giving their heart and souls out there, especially, and I know that they're a little bit more mainstream, honestly, but even like the Growlers, like they're lyrics can be very deep and about situations that they went through or like really hard times, and you can learn a lot about emotion and about life through good written lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
You can learn a lot about a country through foreign films.
You can learn
about how a culture operates. You can learn about how people act. You can learn about how things run on a day-to-day basis by opening yourself to like foreign films and stuff or different kinds of music. And so subjecting yourself to just what everybody else likes and what's, you know, hot in pop culture to, you know, a la the Key and Peele
skit. Yeah, oh my God.
I just like it's everything so that everybody else likes in pop culture. Like, it's so true because it's just like, hey, like, if that's... And there's nothing wrong with that. If people want to just do that, that's fine. That's their life. I'm not telling people how to live their life. But it does come into that conversation where people are like, oh, well, some black and white, like, foreign film. Like, oh, you probably just watch that because you're a hipster and you don't like whatever else is out. You don't like Christopher Nolan or something. It's like, no, I do. But I acknowledge that there's other things out there that are very artistic and well done as well that aren't as, you know, just because they're not as... publicly, you know, accepted doesn't mean that they're not good. And if you just want to submit yourself to what's out there, then that's fine, but you're missing out on a lot of amazing things.
Yeah, seriously. And like you said, it's like not everyone has to love film. Like, if people want to go and just like watch a movie just to like laugh and like that's it, then like, dude, that's fine. But, you know, if you're truly interested in film and want to learn more about like camera angles and like and like lighting and like stuff like this that normal people don't really pay attention to, it's just like there are plenty of other good resources out there.
Absolutely.
Like, movies. Like, same thing can be said about video games too. It's like it's easy to like go into Walmart or like any other just like any other store and be like, okay, like what's top shelf, like what's like trending, like
Finish
this
stock
is the game, yeah,
or whatever, Blockbuster or whatever.
Not or you can
they're
just
out of business.
I don't even know what they're up to.
Best Buy. What I meant. Yeah.
Oh, I hate them too. But but yeah, I mean, like, dude, you have to go out of your way to, and like, yes, it's work, but it should be fun. Like,
yeah,
dude, I mean, I am stingy, and video games aren't cheap.
No.
And which might be a good thing, because I'm not going to go out and buy a $60 game just because it's what's hot and what's trending.
Exactly.
It's like, I'm going to go out of my way, and I'm going to like research a game that I truly want to play. Like, whether it's like a good storyline or like a nice like creative background, like Cuphead, Cuphead. A lot of critics were saying, like, dude, it's not even that good of a game. And, like, they're right. It's really not that great of a game. But it was, like, the behind the scenes that, like, made
it's
that game.
It's what went into it, yeah.
So much, like, playing that game was just like, dude, I cannot believe, like, the amount of work that they put into this game. That's, like, really cool. But, yeah, I mean, dude, it's just all about kind of, you know, going out of your way to, you know, find a film that you really like. Or, like, you know, suck it up and watch a foreign film.
Yeah.
Like, even if you have to read, or even if it's, like, in black and white, like, it doesn't mean it's going to be bad. If you're truly, like, interested in that kind of stuff, then, like, go for it.
Yeah.
Same thing with video games. Yeah. It doesn't have to be, like, the biggest fad or whatever. Just
yeah. Absolutely. I agree. Well, hey, we're coming up on about an hour. Hey, so, yeah, go check out a lot of these video games. If you're into gaming and you haven't checked out these video games, go check them out. I mean, I trust my brother's opinion probably more than anybody else when it comes to video games or music or things that I should be looking into. So a lot of these games that he's mentioned, if you're into gaming, definitely go check them out, and I'll have to check some out myself to get into it. And so, yeah, thank you so much, Dick, for
no problem, man. I will say something really fast too, because I know we're running out of time, but I saw a video the other day that was saying that, like, whenever you think about video games, that playing is the verb that comes up. And, like, you don't always have to play video games. Like, video games, like I just said, aren't cheap.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, like, a new video game is not going to run on my old PC.
Yeah.
Like, dude, if you don't feel like going out and going through trouble playing a game, like, Twitch is awesome. YouTube's great. I love to even watch people play video games.
Yeah.
Playing is not the only verb that associates with video games. Watching.
Which is what I've done my whole life, too.
Yeah.
Just watch you play video games.
I love watching people play video games just as much as I love playing. So
absolutely.
That's the last thing I'll say. But yeah, dude, this was fun.
Yeah, let's do it again sometime about something else.
For sure.
Awesome. All right. Thanks, Dick.